come back to you.
From your bad habit of cocaine. Shut up when I'm talking. I ain't through. If you think you're going to heaven, I got news for you.
You are listening to the hottest show in the diaspora, the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee program.
The time I realized I was better than everybody was my senior year in high school. You know, my body kind of grew into what it is today. Once I came into the NBA, I had a lot of mentors, a lot of people that kind of helped me, you know, develop as a basketball player. And Michael Jordan, who I talk to this day, continues to give me great advice. I define success by championships, by winning. You know, I don't kind of go by the motto of, you know, if you give it your best, you know, if you come up short, you know, oh well. I'm not with that.
Are you as good as Jason Taylor?
I'm better than Jason Taylor, man. What type of question is that? I mean, are you kidding me? Jason is a great player, though, man. That's not to say he's not a great player. He's a great player, but I'm a class of my own. I like watching Jason. I'm the best, man. You with the best, all right?
Fucking style, God give me grace.
God give me style, God give me grace.
God put a smile on my face.
God put the smile on my face.
God make me shine like the sun.
God make me shine like the sun.
Sometimes I feel like I'm the one.
Sometimes I feel like
I ain't one.
I just reach the style, I'm hot, I mix it down.
It ain't my fault.
You can't break it down, the way I break it down. Listen, you call me what you want, black and ugly. But you can't convince me the Lord don't love me. When my CDs drop, they sell the best. You call it luck, why can't it just be I'm blessed? I'm a track star running through life, chasing my dreams. That's still I made a strange in the mic for that triple beam. I zone off thinking, is there really heaven or hell? And show what happens to a changed man that dies in the cell. I need no answers to these questions, cause time will tell. Got a date with destiny, she's more than a girl. Don't much good come for me, but my music is a gift given from God, so I'ma use it, yeah.
God give me style, God give me grace.
God give me style, God give me grace.
God put a smile on my face.
God put the smile on my face.
God make me shine like the sun.
God make me shine like the sun.
Sometimes I feel like I'm the one.
Sometimes I feel like
it ain't my fault.
I just reach the style, I'm hot, I break it down.
It ain't my fault.
You can't break it down, the way I break it down. Some days I'm in the crowd, all by myself. Bunch of around, I'm still by myself. I drift off on a cloud, by myself. Think about nothing more, than like what else. These days it's hard to tell who really cares for me. So when you hear this song, you should say a prayer for me. I put a message in my music, hope it brightens your day. If times are hard when you hear it, know you'll be okay. A OG told me God's favorites have a hard time. You out the world, that's good. Now stay on the grind. I'm a sponge, knowledge and wisdom. I hit so fast. I'm in the class by myself. You do the math.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel. You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
God make me shine like the sun.
God make me shine like the sun.
Sometimes I feel like I'm the one.
Sometimes I feel like I'm the one. Yeah. Shout out to Reverend Floyd Blake.
It ain't my fault.
Creflo Dollar, TDJ. Mr. Betty Alum. DJ L. Shawty. Woo! Feels good. Oh yeah. Can't forget Bishop Moore. Cause my mama killed me.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
August 19th, 2009. I want to welcome all the listeners on 104.1 Berkeley, California. The thousands listening in Alaska. I might have to move out there. Getting so much Alaska love thanks to Wolfie, Brother Wolfgang, and my white Slavic males tuned in. Let me catch up on some of your comments. I hope you're feeling the entrepreneurial emphasis on this show. You're going to get used to a lot. Had to get used to a lot more of that. This is the year of going and getting it. The incomparable Glenn from Philly says, peace said, there is absolutely something to what you are saying. I received in economics and business education? Or I received no. Pardon me. Glenn from Philly says, I received zero economics and business education until I got to college. And even in college, more often than not, it's presented in the context of going to work for someone else. Also, I'm looking forward to buying your book and promoting it to others. Jeffrey X, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, he says, your analysis of a conspiracy against the entrepreneur in education is right on point. The professional workshops I have participated in are now encouraging teachers to prepare students to be able to hold multiple jobs over a lifetime versus being creative and starting their own business. Again, let me read the quote that my dear brother Jeffrey sent to me before I sent my book to get page set. In 1900, in his book, Corporations and the Public Welfare, James Dill warned that the most critical social question of the day was figuring out how to get rid of the small entrepreneur, yet at the same time retain his loyalty to a system based on private enterprise. The small entrepreneur had been the heart of the American Republican ideal, the soul of its democratic strength. So the many school training habits which led directly to small entrepreneurship had to be eliminated. Now, let me talk about some of these training habits. Now, in this article, How Can American Entrepreneurship Be Revitalized? I read a quote from the author Jeffrey M. Jones, who writes, entrepreneurs thrive in an environment where failure is tolerated. But getting a job is the total opposite of that. It's about security, not failing, not taking risk. One of the things that you can do, I'm not saying you can teach a person how to be an entrepreneur. I think you can teach the science of business. But entrepreneurship is also a spiritual undertaking that has to do with the person's temperament. There's certain things that they will have to learn on their own. However, you can, through proper education, encourage young people to get acquainted with certain fears that they have, how to manage and handle them, like the fear of failure. Why suffering and adversity can produce a greater benefit in the future. These are things that you can learn as being associated with business. Now, one of the things that I don't like about the rappers, and I've said this before, my problem with the rappers is not just really the lyrical content. I have more of a problem with why rappers don't tell young people the struggle that they went through to become successful. If I could just get them to be honest about what they go through and teach that to young people, they could keep rapping almost. Murder, death, kill. Cash, money, drugs. But just when you get in front of the babies, keep it real with them about the suffering and the struggle that you went through. So my book is divided into three sections. One is the political economy. Two is business principles. And three is the personal struggle. More comments, please. Trent from Asbury Park says, Usain Bolt has the perfect last name, Bolt. It describes him perfectly. Trent also said, as it related to the Shark Tank episode where the white female entrepreneur rejected Damon from FUBU, his offer to invest in her company, Trent says, Damon better chill before that white woman yells rape. Glenn from Philly also says that as tough as they may seem on the entrepreneur, every single thing that entrepreneur heard will only make him better. I agree. I have walked away from presenting business plans wanting to cry. But some of the best feedback and guidance that you will receive will come when you present something that your heart is wrapped up in. Brother Dion from Los Angeles is back from Lagos, Nigeria. He says, I'm back from my 6-month stay in Lagos. Your archives got me through. I miss you and the entire Black Coffee Channel family. I'm getting some hatred too. I want to read this. One of the listeners out, I believe in California, they sent in a comment. They say, hi. Cedric, I just listened to your show, and this is a past show, archive show. I have a question. Who the hell appointed you to go around telling women what they can and can't wear on their bodies? Yes, I know, you regard women as chattel. That much is obvious. But even so, who died and gave you the right to regard us as such? Did you read it in your holy book somewhere? Did Allah tell you? How about this, Cedric? How about your take and your holy book and your sexist-ish and ram it right back up where it came from? Let me give them a standing ovation, whoever that person was. I don't know if this person read what I wrote about the thong or the veil. What is a more oppressive symbol, the thong or the veil? Ramadan coming up. I want to get it in early. Blessed Ramadan Mubarak to all the Muslims. I know it snuck up on you. Some of you were not ready for a Ramadan in the height of summer, which is counted as a blessing. Peace to Greg Heath, St. Louis, Missouri, tuning in. Okay, let's move into heavy, heavy subject. Philadelphia Eagles fan that I am. I got the news Thursday night. I was bowling with a friend of mine from Jersey, another ardent Eagles fan. When the big news came through, Michael Vick is an Eagle. I think I want to start, though, because I want to talk about three black men that I think exemplify something very important. Mike Tyson, Michael Vick, and Marion Barry. Let me start with Michael Vick. Then Marion Barry. And then I want to end on Mike Tyson. What do you all think? Is this all about career rejuvenation, reinvention? Is this all about business? Do you think this is reform, redemption? Or will Michael Vick end up another example of recidivism, a repeat offender? Let me give you some of the reaction to it first, behind the lines on ESPN, and then we'll hear from Michael Vick direct.
What is the public mood in Eagle Nation? Let's say good day to the governor of the Keystone State, Ed Rendell, the former mayor of Philadelphia, a longtime Eagle ticket holder who provides post-game commentary on Eagle broadcast. Morning, Governor.
Good morning, Bob.
Larry Platt joins us. He's the editor of Philadelphia Magazine, and also John Smallwood, who is a columnist with the Philadelphia Daily News. Gentlemen, good to have you here. Governor, you know how easy it is to phone into sports talk radio, make a sign if you know there are going to be TV cameras there. So how representative are these voices we've heard so far of the greater mood in the Keystone State and in Philadelphia?
Well, I think that there are certain people who say, Michael Vick, no, never. Certain people who say it's a great football acquisition, yes. But the vast majority of people are like me, willing to wait and see. We do believe in second chances. Every day we deliver a message to 45,000 people in our state penitentiary. Do your time, take care of yourself, rehabilitate, and we'll help you when you get outside. It would be hypocritical for us to deliver a different message to Michael Vick. But I think the vast majority of the public wants to see what he does, not just on the field, as Jeff Lurie said, but off the field. Is he really sincere about becoming a great spokesman against pit bull fighting, against dog fighting, against animal cruelty, against gassing dog could be adopted, things like that. So I think it's a wait-and-see attitude for the general public.
Larry Platt, we know the reputation of Philly as a sports town where, of course, they booed Santa back in the early 1960s. How is this playing now?
Well, I think the governor's right. I think that the jury is out, and a lot of that is going to depend on Michael Vick's actions, not just his words. You know, Philadelphia leads the league in animal cruelty. We're one of the worst cities in terms of dog fighting, and we already have an athlete who is very active in fighting animal cruelty, Chase Utley and his wife, Jen Utley. And I think there is an opportunity here for Michael Vick to really make a difference, but people will come around if his actions match the words of his press conference, and also if the Eagles get involved. I was a little disappointed that there were no local leaders of the animal rights community at the press conference, and hopefully that's to come.
John Smallwood, there was a poll on Philly.com, the website that your paper and the Inquirer shared together, and it was pretty well split down the middle, 51-49, yes, no.
Yeah, and I think that's about the general mood of this, of this. And I think it's like that in most situations like that. I think what happens is when the news initially hits, the people who are most critical and negative about it, they are going to be the ones who hit the airwaves first. They're going to be on the phones, because that's just natural that people who are upset about something, they are going to be the first to vote, voice their views. And then as the situation moves on, like today, I think you're seeing a lot more of the people who are maybe Michael Vick supporters or saying a good thing or, you know, giving him a second chance, they're going to come out. I think if we come back in about a month, I think the idea that he can't play for a couple weeks and then we don't know when he's going to play in a regular season. And to be honest, to take a clear, straight sports approach, a lot of this is going to depend on how the Eagles are doing. The Eagles are 3-1 and 100 protesters are out there, you know, holding up signs against Michael Vick while 65,000 Eagle fans are going in to watch their 3-1 football team. I don't know how big of an impact that's going to be. If they're 1-3, it could be a lot different.
Governor, what do you make of the fact that Andy Reid on his own the other day at the press conference brought up the travails of his own family, the fact that his two sons have had problems with the law in Dunn time?
Well, I think there were a lot of factors that led Andy to go ahead with this, and I think the fact that his sons are in trouble and he wants them to have a second chance, a chance at redemption, played into his decision-making. But I was particularly touched with our owner, Jeff Lurie, and his sort of rambling 13-minute statement about how he came to give the green light. Because Jeff Lurie, like I am a great dog lover. I have two abused rescue golden retrievers.
All right, let me jump in right now, man. I have full disclosure here. I had a dog when I was about 4 years old, 5 and 6. I was in Korea. The dog's name was Happy. Yes, I had a dog. I had to come back to the States. I had to leave the dog in Korea. They ate my dog. I've been scarred ever since. The dog's name was Happy. I was part of the first Happy Meal.
And we passed the strongest anti-puppy mill legislation in the state. And for dog lovers and football lovers, it's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. But Andy understands redemption on a personal basis. And again, I think we all should. I mean, it's the message we preach to everyone who goes into our prison system. Do your time, pay your debts to society, rehabilitate yourself, and we will give you a second chance.
Larry?
You know, I agree with the governor, and by the way, he deserves tremendous props for taking on animal cruelty from a legislative perspective. But I also think that there's been a disturbing sort of minimization of what Michael Vick did. I've heard some people, including his teammates, saying that, well, everyone makes mistakes and no one's perfect. But this was an ongoing criminal enterprise. He admitted in sentencing to drowning dogs himself.
Do you think he has minimized that himself? Do you detect it, to your mind,
a lack of
remorse?
No, I think that remains to be seen. I think, again, his actions will determine whether he's sincere. I, like the governor, was touched by Jeffrey Lurie's candid, moving comments. And that's why I'd like to see the Eagles actually engage this issue and not just leave it up to Michael Vick.
John,
Larry, in fairness,
Bob,
to the Eagles,
Bob,
in fairness
little,
to the Eagles, I don't think you would
skeptic.
Have gotten...
Go ahead, Governor.
I don't think you would have gotten animal rights groups on the first day to stand with the Eagles and Michael Vick.
John?
I think that has to come in the future.
Okay, John?
I think that's right.
Bob, I'm a little more skeptical, and I'm more of a cynic than both the governor and Larry there. I think that, yes, there's some of the redemption value, but let's be clear. This was a football decision. This is a business decision. They signed Michael Vick because they think they can help this team win a Super Bowl, which is about the only thing it hasn't done and the only thing it really must do. I mean, I think there is some, and it sounds good to talk
about.
Do
you sense then, John, you're saying that there's some insincerity in all the redemption talk we've heard?
No, I'm not gonna say insincerity. No, I do believe that they're, you know, they believe in second chances, and I believe that Jeffrey Lurie is certainly an animal rights advocate. But I think the bottom line to all of this is that you want to put that out because it sounds really good. But if you really get to the bottom of it, it's a football decision. It's about if this guy can help the Eagles win the Super Bowl. And if Michael Vick, if they didn't think he could help them win this team win, he would not be here today.
And oh, by the way, the Giants scout team was running the Wildcat the other day, so they got to play the Eagles twice. So there's a football thing to keep an eye on. Governor Ed Rendell, Larry Platt, John Smallwood, always good to speak with you, gentlemen. Thanks so much this morning.
What do you think? I want some of you cynics out there. Is this about money or is this about the redemption of a human being? There's no wrong answer. I don't want, you know, enough of the, don't get me wrong, I love you pro-black ideologues, but come on. Some of you all are dog lovers, militants by day, have the dog sleeping with you by night. I know about you. What is this all about with Michael Vick? How do you feel? It's definitely about business. It's definitely about big money. Let's hear from Michael in his own words.
The first day I walked into prison and they slammed that door, I knew, you know, the magnitude of the decisions that I make and the poor judgment and what I, you know, allowed to happen to the animals. And, you know, it's no way of, you know, explaining, you know, the hurt and the guilt that I felt. And that was the reason I cried so many nights, and that put it all into perspective.
You cried a number of nights.
Yeah.
About?
What I did, you know, being away from my family, letting so many people down, let myself down, you know, not being out on the football field, being in a prison bed, in a prison bunk, writing letters home. You know, that wasn't my life. That wasn't the way that things were supposed to be. And all because of the so-called culture that I thought was right. And I thought it was cool. And I thought it was, you know, it was fun and it was exciting at the time. It all led to me laying in a prison bunk by myself. Nobody to talk to but myself.
Who do you blame for all of this?
I blame me.
Michael Vick was a human highlight reel with a powerful arm, blazing speed, and an uncanny ability to elude tacklers. He's the only quarterback in NFL history to rush for over 1,000 yards in a season, though he was injured a lot and never lived up to the high expectations in Atlanta. Very few people knew what was happening in his life off the field. When police raided a farm he owned in rural Virginia in 2007, they uncovered an interstate dogfighting operation called Bad News Kennels. They removed 66 dogs and exhumed the bodies of 8 more. They also found dogfighting paraphernalia and a pit where fights were held. The dogs that were saved, raised and trained to be vicious fighters, are now being rehabilitated in hopes of being adopted, all at the expense of Vick, who was ordered by a judge to pay nearly $1 million for the effort.
And the operation, Michael, that you pleaded guilty to bankrolling, to being a part of, engaged in barbarous treatment of the animals, beating them, shooting them, electrocuting them, drowning them. Horrific things, Michael.
It's wrong, man. I don't know how many times I gotta say it. I mean, it was wrong. I feel tremendous hurt behind what happened. And, you know, I should have took the initiative to stop it all, you know, and I didn't. And I feel so bad about that now. And I know, you know, that I didn't step up. I wasn't the leader.
In any way, for those who may say it showed a lack of moral character because you didn't stop it, you agree or disagree?
I agree.
For 6 years, Vick ran Bad News Kennels with his childhood friends, breeding, buying, selling, and fighting pit bulls.
Was there an adrenaline rush? Was it the sense of competition? What was it that gripped you about what you were engaged in with the dog fighting?
Regardless of what it was.
Do you know what
it
was?
Don't even matter.
Do you know what it was?
I know why. You know, I know why. And regardless of what it was and why I was driven, you know, by what, you know, what was going on, you know, whether it was because of the competition or, you know, whatever it may have been, it was wrong.
Were any of those reasons, though, the competition, the adrenaline?
Yeah.
Do you understand why people are outraged?
I understand why. And I'm going to say it again. Sick as meat to my stomach. And it was, you know, same feeling I'm feeling right now is what people was feeling.
And the feeling you're feeling right now is?
Disgust. Pure disgust.
When did you arrive at that feeling of disgust, Michael? When did the light go on?
When I was in prison. When I was in prison, I was disgusted. You know, because of what I let happen to those animals. I could have put a stop to it. I could have walked away from it.
But you
I could have shut the whole operation down.
But you didn't. But and I why didn't. Not? What was keeping you going?
Not being able to say or tell, you know, certain people around me that, look, we can't do this anymore. I'm concerned about my career. I'm concerned about my family.
So for the cynics who would say, you know what, I don't know, Michael Vick might be more concerned about the fact that his career was hurt than dogs were hurt.
I mean, football don't even matter. You know, that's a
losing $135 million contract doesn't matter.
It don't matter. It don't matter.
Why not?
I deserve to lose that because of what I was doing.
You deserve to lose it.
Yeah, I deserve to lose it. I deserve to lose the $130 million. Why would a guy who's making $130 million and, you know, on the flip side, you know, killing dogs or doing the wrong things, why would, you know, do you just, they don't deserve it.
Okay, now, let's move over to the statement made by Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie. Very interesting statement he made. Listen closely. Again, I don't want, this is, you know, we already defended Michael Vick about 2 years ago when this happened. I'm not interested in the pro-black man defense. I'm telling you straight up, you do need to respect animals and all of God's creatures. Even the roaches and mice have a purpose in divine order. So I don't want to hear that we already did that. Let's go a little bit deeper. Is this about career rejuvenation? Is this about reform? Is Michael Vick headed for recidivism, a repeat offender, regression? What is going on with Michael Vick in a very secluded hotel in Philadelphia with tight security, NFL security, and police all around him? Is Michael Vick going to be prevented from linking up with certain elements in the black community in Philadelphia? Have you thought about that? Is this just about community service, or will Michael be able to speak out on other issues? I mean, really think this through. Animals do matter, so don't hit me with the, you know, people are more valuable than animals. I already know that. But if you have a young person, you don't teach them to kill an animal. I had a turtle once. I cried when my turtle died. Here's Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Eagles. Listen to what he says. Quite gangster.
I spent a lot of time talking to Michael directly. Even after Commissioner Goodell, Andy Reid, Tony Dungy, I still wanted to spend the time directly with him. And did that, just the two of us. And that's unprecedented in the way we operate with the Eagles, because I have a very, very close and, as you know, respectful relationship with Andy Reid. And there's really never been an instance where he wanted to acquire a player and I said, I don't want to. This is one where I had to discover it for myself. I spent hours with Michael. Asked him extremely tough questions. Tried to evaluate remorse. It's a tough thing to do. We're all skeptical. You know, you're innately skeptical of somebody that's capable of doing horrendous things that they could be remorseful. In spending the time with Michael, I think he deserves that opportunity. He's going to have to prove it in actions, not in words. You know, I can only read his eyes so much. I can only read his emotions so much, and the words. He's going to have to prove to Philadelphia, to the United States, to the National Football League, to human beings, and to animals everywhere, that this man...
Okay, question. How do you prove something to animals?
...is committed, as he said to me, and I think said publicly, to save more animals than he's been responsible for eliminating. He's one of the few that could probably pull this off because of how bad his actions have been. It in terms of, I think, influencing young people to not take part in dogfighting and respecting animals, people will listen to somebody who's been through it much more than somebody who's just saying the right thing.
Now, how do you all feel about this? Does the black community, do inner cities, does the Latino and black community have a problem with pit bull fighting? Are young girls and boys having their fingers bitten off because of pit bulls in the neighborhood being raised a certain way? Now, can you have it both ways? Should white people in the Humane Society or PETA be foremost against that happening, if that is happening in black and Latino communities? Where's the leadership in the black community? Now, we all know that this was going on. You could listen to every rap record that came out from 1997 to about 2001. I'm talking about fighting pits. You can walk in any, you can go in Harlem, any part of Philly, you'll see pit bulls walking around. We all know stories of young children getting bitten. So if not the Humane Society, what are we doing to prevent this from happening in our community that allows somebody like Jeffrey Lurie to say what he's about to say?
So anyway, I guess to make a long story shorter, this was an impossibly difficult decision to approve. Commissioner Goodell, Tony, and Andy were extremely encouraging. Meeting with Michael, I felt the self-hatred, I felt the remorse, I felt the plans going forward could be very, very fruitful for animal rights in America. This is not a slam dunk. He's going to have to be absolutely committed to be proactive. If we don't have an extremely proactive player here off the field, then this is a terrible decision. It's counterintuitive. It's going to be initially disappointing to some people that we have given him the second chance. And I'm aware of that. Sometimes you have to make decisions that are very difficult. My hope is, as we go forward, that Michael will prove his value in society. Whether he becomes a good football player again is possible. But more importantly, for Michael and for the National Football League, he's got an opportunity to be a very valuable member of society, and that's the goal here. I'm sure there's a lot more, and I'm sure you have a lot of questions, and I'd be very happy to answer anything you want.
Okay, I'm looking for something today. I will move from Michael Vick to Marion Barry very quickly if I don't hear or see in a comment what I'm looking for. We've already done the Defend Brother Man show. We did that 2 years ago. What I'm a little more interested in today is two things. One, let's say three things. One, look at the business that's involved. Now, I'll tell you this for a fact. Let me put the camera on me. Make it a little more real. And wait, hold on. Maybe I can promote Met Cafe. Yeah, you remember this song? Remember this artist? Let me put the camera on me. Hold on. Yeah. McCafe commercial. If you want to advertise on the hottest show in the diaspora, just let me know. Now, I'm not going to let us get away from running from something. There is a serious problem with the pit bull fighting in the hood. Now, how can you take care of that problem without... See, I think there's been a failure, which is why Michael Vick is being used. We had 2 years now to do the pro-black, black man is more valuable than a dog. But what about fighting the problem in the neighborhoods where you have little black girls, little black boys getting their fingers bitten off because dog fighting is a form of masculinity? So now we have to listen to the Humane Society and PETA teach us something that we innately know. This is why I want to get away from political ideology and into basic humanity, universal law, and spiritual civilization. If you deal with it on those levels, you know that putting hot sauce in the eyes of dogs. Did I just make that up? I may have just made that up. Whatever they do, giving battery acid to dogs to make them fight is wrong. This was all in hip-hop. DMX openly dealt with this. Every rapper of note, it seemed, promoting dog fighting. I'll move off the subject if we're going to just do the superficial thing. I got some comments I want to read. But Jeffrey Lurie said he wanted to see some self-hatred. How paternalistic is that? He wants Michael Vick to show self-hatred. When I would see, when I'd be walking in Harlem and I would see little pit bulls, man, I would get a little heart palpitation. clean up your own neighborhood, man, so Michael Vick doesn't have to become a poster child. There should already be blacks in the black community cleaning up this problem. That's what I say. If you disagree, let me know.
Man, look what you done started. Act written, you got it. Had it, should have shot it. Now you're dealing departed. Get at me, dog, gonna rip. But this one here, I flip. You can tell when I kick. Gonna be some six. What would that look for when I walked in the door? Oh, you thought you was raw? Boom, not anymore. Cause now you on the floor. Wishing you never saw.
Glenn from Philly says, Peace said I actually had issue with Jeff Lurie's statements. I.e. him needing to see more self-hate from Michael Vick. I thought it was ridiculous. In the meantime, I have no problem with the Eagles signing Vick. He's not evil incarnate, nor is he Jackie Robinson. He's a man who made a mistake, went to jail, and is now out of prison and employed again. I agree. Ex-offender, previously incarcerated person, Michael Vick. Love to see Tony Dungy around him. But will this... See, to me, Michael Vick could become the poster child for previously incarcerated individuals, ex-offenders getting their jobs back. Philadelphia has been a leading city. Mayor Michael Nutter, they've tried to employ, they've tried to give businesses incentives to work with ex-offenders. But is this about making Michael Vick an advocate for causes that only the establishment approves? What if Michael Vick wants to now work with black men coming out of jails in Philadelphia? Is he going to have to wait 2 years before he gets to that in order to meet his quota of dogs that he has to hug? Let me play another DMX song. I actually like this song. This ain't got nothing to do with dog fighting, I don't think. But come on. Every rap album almost I bought, 97, 98, dealing with this. Let me take a commercial break. It's the hottest show in the diaspora. We'll be right back.
Down. Song to the song that I got to know now. This is with me, you what? Nigga trying to give me a nut. Cause honey's gonna give me the vibe. I'm politicking with the chicken, wondering if I'm a creeper. Lil' hood rap from 25th named Tamika. Coming through like I do, you know, getting my bark on. Knew she was a thug, cause when I met her, she had a scarf on. 5411, size 7 in girls. Baby face would look like she was 11 with curves. Girlfriend, what? Remember me from way back? I'm the same cat, the wave cat. That's my...
I spent a lot of time talking to Michael directly, even after Commissioner Goodell, Andy Reid, Tony Dungy. I still wanted to spend the time directly with him, and did that, just the two of us. And that's unprecedented in the way we operate with the Eagles, because I have a very, very close and, as you know, respectful relationship with Andy Reid. And there's really never been an instance where he wanted to acquire a player and I said, I don't want to. This is one where I had to discover it for myself.
The first day I walked into prison and he slammed that door, I knew, you know, the magnitude of the decisions that I made and the poor judgment and what I, you know, allowed to happen to them.
See, to me, I feel like this is an example of the weakness of the black community. In order to defend a beautiful black brother, you have to ignore a problem in the community. We're never going to get better. You're going to have the Humane Society coming from out of town, acting more concerned about what we know has been going on in the inner city for decades. Can't have it both ways, folks. That political ideology means you got to accept the Humane Society. Just do community development. Clean up the neighborhood and stop dogs from biting little children.
Animals. And, you know, there's no way of, you know, explaining, you know, the hurt and the guilt that I felt. And that was the reason I cried so many nights. And that put it all into perspective.
You cried a number of nights.
Yeah.
About?
What I did, you know, being away from my family, letting so many people down, let myself down, you know, not being out on the football field, being in a prison bed, in a prison bunk, writing letters home. You know, that wasn't my life. That wasn't the way that things were supposed to be. And all because of the so-called culture that I thought was right.
Michael Vick just told the truth. There is something in the culture that makes this right. Michael Vick is sincere. He's telling the truth. I believe every word he's saying. But why does the Humane Society have to be the platform that greets him on his way out of prison.
New BlackBerry, huh?
Yeah.
I love you all. This is a different show. I think, you know, those of you that have listened, you understand this. I'm looking to have a different conversation. Sometimes I may even struggle to find the right concept or word because this is so kind of new for us. If you're black and you do talk radio, you either have to be a card-carrying member of the Democratic Party, which we already know. You had to be a black militant, or at least talk like one. Or you had to do like a niche, like, you know, sports talk radio or something like that. I do them all. I don't do any one in particular. That's right, we're going to talk about a white man named Bob Novak later on today, who I think some black journalists should be more like in one respect. I don't want to do a Mike Vick discussion about the black man under attack. We already know that. We already did that show. What I'm more interested in is is there a real problem in the black community with dogfighting? To me, the answer is yes, without a doubt. So who should be fighting that? And I'm talking about, have young people been affected? Yes. So who should be the leader in that fight? The NFL? Michael Vick? The Humane Society? I say no. It should be the community. Let me read your comments. I think we're so defensive sometimes from catching so many L's that we don't want to admit to self-evident truths. Fighting pit bulls was a sign of masculinity. It was big business. I mean, I don't think I'm exposing any secret of life in the inner city over the last 10, 15, 20 years. Let me read your comments. Cameron, the always effervescent Cameron, Patterson, New Jersey. He says, for Mike Vick, he has to get back a lot of the cash that he lost defending himself and paying fines. His lifestyle has changed dramatically. For him to wind up in prison never crossed his mind. He is a competitor, and right now, I expect him to reinvent himself as a person and win games for Philly and stay away from his old crowd. You do know trying to help his friends got him into this mess. He mentions his concern for them. Said this is a correlation between black success and the pressure to help friends and family. He's playing the hand that he was dealt, and he's doing it well too. Trent from Asbury Park. Can people be remorseful? Jeff Lurie, Eagles owner, wants to know. When will a certain people prove remorsefulness for their actions against the slave and the ex-slaves? The owner wanted Michael Vick to have self-hatred. That is a heavy statement coming from a man that belongs to a race that has produced self-hatred in black people for 454 years, 4 months, and 19 days. More from Cam. Cam said the NFL has invested so much money into this guy that they are protecting their investment. He sounds like a dude who was forced into taking Michael Vick. Cam's got a point. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell was actively involved in encouraging the Eagles to take Michael Vick. Why? Cam continues. He says Madden 2010 has added him into their new video game. The rhetoric about dogfighting is fake. The league is using it as a smokescreen to deflect attention from them and put it on Vick. It was a great PR move. All of this talk about how they are helping him to redeem himself reframes the discussion. It's bringing heat on black people. I had a cousin who broke into an ice cream truck once, and he didn't get any of this attention when he got out of jail. Man, he robbed the ice cream man? Shane from Houston, Texas says, I agree with you, Cedric. I'd rather have Vic talk about and with the many people that are ex-felons that need guidance once they have done their time. I never owned a pit bull, but I've seen them get fed gunpowder and all kinds of stuff. I'm older now and I don't hang around those people. I mean, I find this interesting, even on this show, right now. I'm not getting a single comment about this problem. It is not a phony problem. And what used to bother me about the pit bulls was that it would be children who would have their little finger nubs. I'm an Eagles fan, so you know I celebrate this. Michael Vick, what? I see a Super Bowl ring by next year. But I just wonder why the black community can't defend Michael Vick, elevate Tony Dungy, and talk about the problem in the inner city. Why can't we admit that this is a real problem? Michael Vick kept it real. There is a problem in the culture. I'm going to let Vick talk one more time, then we're going to go into Mary and Barry and Mike Tyson. We're talking about redemption, recidivism, resurrection, reform, rejuvenation, regression. Bunch of damn R's on this show today. Michael, speak to us.
First day I walked into prison and they slammed that door, I knew, you know, the magnitude of the decisions that I made and the poor judgment and what I, you know, allowed to happen to the animals. And, you know, it's no way of, you know, explaining, you know, the hurt and the guilt that I felt. And that was the reason I cried so many nights. And that put it all into perspective.
You cried a number of nights.
Yeah.
About?
Mike cried about having some bum-ass friends. That's what he cried about.
What I did, you know, being away from my family, letting so many people down, let myself down, you know, not being out on the football field, being in a prison bed, in a prison bunk, writing letters home. You know, that wasn't my life. That wasn't the way that things were supposed to be. And all because of the so-called culture.
Ooh, Mike, I love you, Michael Vick. I don't care if he's saying that in front of the Humane Society or not. There is a problem in the culture with pit bull fighting. I embrace Michael Vick keeping it real. Let me throw you a picture of Mike looking real strong in the Eagles logo. Get me a Super Bowl ring. Michael Vick is not lying.
That I thought was right. And I thought it was cool, and I thought it was, you know.
See, until black people can overcome the culture, you can talk about broken families, you can talk about failing public school system, but until you have more power than MTV, BET, rap music, you're not going to be able to keep the Humane Society and the NFL from being paternalistic and insulting. You won't keep an NFL owner from telling Michael Vick he needs to see more self-hatred. That happens because the community is weak. We're the ones that failed Michael Vick to a degree. Even his knucklehead friends, Bad News Kennels, we failed them. Now, for 2 years, we had an opportunity to get ready for Michael Vick to come out of jail and have it all laid out for him. But we only want to focus on the football side of the story and be defensive because he's a black male catching it, that we blew it. I mean, the NAACP, the Urban League, the church, the mosques can't all form a united front policing neighborhoods so that Michael can come home and deal with ex-offenders, deal with young men that are coming out of jail. And the issue of pit bull fighting. He had 2 years now to get ready for that. Speak to us, Michael.
It was fun and it was exciting at the time. It all led to me laying in a prison bunk by myself. Nobody to talk to but myself.
Who do you blame for all of this?
I blame me.
Michael Vick was a human highlight reel with a powerful arm, blazing speed, and an uncanny ability to elude tacklers. He's the only quarterback in NFL history to rush for over 1,000 yards in a season, though he was injured a lot and never lived up to the high expectations in Atlanta. Very few people knew what was happening in his life off the field. When police raided a farm he owned in rural Virginia in 2007, they uncovered an interstate dog fighting operation called Bad News Kennels. They removed 66 dogs and exhumed the bodies of 8 more. They also found dog fighting paraphernalia and a pit where fights were held. The dogs that were saved, raised and trained to be vicious fighters, are now being rehabilitated.
This is not about saving dogs. This is about building a community that should not allow that crap to go on. I don't have the luxury of dividing up the issue, animal rights. I don't know about that. This is called respect for God's creatures in the hood. This shouldn't be going on in the neighborhood, simple and plain. End it.
In hopes of being adopted. All at the expense of Vic, who was ordered by a judge to pay nearly $1 million for the effort.
And the operation, Michael, that you pleaded guilty to bankrolling, to being a part of, engaged in barbarous treatment of the animals, beating them, shooting them, electrocuting them, drowning them.
So you all make, we had to go to the police. If we really want to stop this crap from going on, we end up going to the police. There's no community organization in the hood stopping dog fights. The culture makes it cool. Let me give you all another example. There's some songs in hip-hop that are so hot, they make you want to go sell drugs and fight pits.
What?
I'm going to go into hour number, was it three? The song that makes me want to sell drugs. Because it sounds hot in terms of the culture. Be honest. Go get some powder white. Now, if I'm 15, 18, 16 years old and I hear this song and I don't have a summer job because there's no mayor like Marion Barry with the Pride program, there's no Marion Barry selling drugs is what's up.
The home of the business and building movement, the Cedric Muhammad and Black Coffee Program.
Like I said, we're all chasing something. More money. More love. What we're really looking for is more life. But sometimes you go looking for more. And you wind up with less.
Cedric Muhammad. Cedric Muhammad.
It's a beautiful world. We ought to be satisfied. But the truth is, we all want more. He knows that if you give a man his dream, he might just do anything for you. But you can't have your dream without laying something on the line.